Welcome to Mentoring Moments. Mentoring Moments is a sub-series of the E-Commerce Edge podcast. It is composed of clips taken from Jason's one-to-one and group mentorship sessions. Hello, everybody. I'm here on one of my one-to-one mentorship calls with Stephen Jones, and we were talking about some things just before that I think would be very useful and beneficial to a much broader audience than just Steve. And so that's why I thought we would just go into record mode here for a minute. And we would share some of the things that we were discussing. And Stephen, you were sharing with me some of the outbound cadences that you guys use as a team to, in some cases, it's cold emails, in some cases, it's cold DMs, in some cases, it's cold phone calls, which we know a lot of outbound teams, they have no choice. They've got to do these cadences in order to put your brand, your technology, your platform onto the radar of potential buyers. And we were talking about the potential brand damage of any kind of cold outreach. But what we also discussed, some of the ways in which we can humanize our outreach to the maximum amount possible to where, hey, at least if we're doing cold outreach, not only are we trying to personalize by getting to know the company in advance before we ever reach out to somebody at the company, not only will we want to get to know the potential contact that we're actually doing the cold outreach to and trying to have a very human dialogue with that human being on the receiving end of that phone call, that email, that DM, that whatever. But I think we also talked about a few things that you said, hey, look, that's a new way of looking at this outreach that I hadn't necessarily thought of before. And one of those is in the content that we're creating, are we thinking about our customers and customers? Because you're targeting, ultimately, at the end of the day, you're targeting e-commerce merchants with your technology that can automate some elements of their customer service. But more importantly, we need to think about the impact of our technology on their customers. So what is the type of customer experience that they want to create? And are we helping them achieve that? And are we talking about the ways we can help them achieve that using our technology? It's not just, we want to look at this through not just the company lens, i.e. the merchant lens. We want to look at this through the customer lens first and actually work back from that. And oftentimes in your case, you're targeting brands, for example, that don't necessarily have a great overall reviews score on something like Okendo or whatever reviews platform that they use. And that can be used to open up a dialogue with those merchants to say, hey, look, do you have a plan in place of how you can fix this? Do you have any kind of tools at your disposal that can help improve the end customer journey so that we can boost these reviews scores, which at the moment aren't very good? That's an opening. That's a way to get your foot in the door. If you're not looking at it through the end customer's lens, then why are we even here? So maybe you can talk a little bit about some of the things we discussed and how that might impact the way in which you guys do your outreach.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely going to have an impact. I think just to go from where we were Digital Genius before this, I think a lot of the emails we've been sending are very focused on our business. It's very much like features and benefits and stuff. It's, this is what we do. This is who we work with.
This is how amazing we are.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it's all been. Yeah, this is, look how awesome we are. And I don't think anyone wants an advert delivered to their inbox. No one wants like a sales email. So my main goal has been to make the email tone and the structure of the email to be focused on our client, on our prospect. And I think what I love about what we've just been talking about is the idea of making it really gravitated around our end customer, our client's customer. So we're B2B business. Obviously, we sell to businesses. We sell our product to e-commerce and retail brands. Yeah, there's so much a conversation where e-commerce merchants need to think about their customer journey, not their company journey. And where they, and I'm a big believer in this when I look at their marketing as well, and look at decisions that you see marketing teams making at e-commerce brands and how it's like, oh, you clearly, when you're talking about zero party data and stuff, you're thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about your end customer. And that's not the place to start from. But yeah, I'm definitely being guilty of doing that. I think this is a step up. It's a step in the right direction to go from talking about yourself to talking about the merchant. But I think the level above that is to even talk about their customer and how does what we do tie to their customer's experience? Where's that link? Because if we aren't improving the life of their customer, It doesn't matter how many case studies or bits of social proof we can drop into the emails or whatever. If we're not making the life of their customer any better, there's exactly as you said, why are we even here? What's the point? It's like a retail enablement industry that we work in, isn't it? Like agencies and tech vendors, and where we are here to enable merchants to serve their customers. And so if we're not doing everything through the lens of that end customer, then we're dropping the ball somewhere, I guess.
I think one of the things that we talked about was that brands oftentimes tie customer service KPIs back to other things, meaning that, sure, if we can respond faster to tickets, then we're going to be more efficient. And we'll allow if we implement automation technology, then each customer service team member will be able to answer 5 more tickets an hour, or take 5 more phone calls an hour, or respond to 5 more live chats an hour. So they're KPI'd based on outputs, not outcomes. And I think that is a real danger for a lot of e-commerce merchants out there when they don't think of customer love and customer joy and customer happiness as a KPI in its own right. Meaning, did we make the customer happy? Regardless of how many questions we answered in an hour, or how many phone calls we took, or how many live chats we responded to, or how many live chats we automated the response to, instead of that being the KPI, the KPI should be, okay, what's our NPS score? What's our CSAT? Or what's our, when we follow up the customer on the interaction that we had, what was their score? What score did they give us out of 10 or whatever it might be? I think that those customer happiness KPIs and that feedback loop is a KPI in its own right. We can encourage that thinking in every interaction we have with merchants. It's no, customer happiness is the goal. That is the point. Yep. Regardless of whether it increases conversion today, tomorrow, next week, next month, who cares? Yes, that is going to, by definition, be a consequence of customer happiness. We'll have higher conversion rates. We'll have higher AOVs. We'll have higher LTVs. We'll have all of those other business and commercial metrics are influenced by customers being happy in the first place. And so why wouldn't we, instead of trying to tie it back and make all these tenuous links between, oh, we increased our response rate by timed response rate by 30 seconds. We improved the time to response by 30 seconds. Oh, let's tie that back to a 0.1% increase in conversion rate. I think that these tenuous links that we can make, and they are tenuous at best, I think that those are missing the point entirely, which is that the focus should be making the bloody customer happy as a KPI. And, and then everything else falls in place as a downstream effect of that, as opposed to chasing the performance KPIs and saying, oh, we think that will make the customer happier if we chase those KPIs. How do you know? Until you start getting the feedback, how do you know? And I think the other thing that we talked about was we went through a few of those sales emails. And while I think that you had made a good, great start on moving from a place of focus on your tech and what you can do and made it more about what the customer could benefit from, meaning the merchant, what they could benefit from by deploying your technology, I think we hadn't gone far enough in talking about how it could benefit their end customer. And I think just by tweaking, I mean, we only tweaked like one sentence or half a sentence, just language. And I think let's bring up as an example, that one sentence where you were talking about focusing on the conversations that matter and tweaked the verbiage in that sentence. I think let's use a real life example of what we walked through here, because I think that's a really super tangible example of what we're talking about.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so that the let's go even back to the first email.
The previous one, yeah.
Yeah, if you automated 40 to 70% of your conversations, your team would have more time for the tickets that matter. And that's, yeah, I fully take the feedback. That's not a human way of looking at it. It's very clinical, robotic. You're treating your end customers as tickets, like a ticket number. Whereas this could very easily be changed to, if you automated 40 to 70% of your conversations, your team would have more time for the customers that need a little extra attention, or for the customers with difficult cases to resolve, or for something about the end customer who has got a problem that needs solving. The sentence that's giving your team more time for tickets that matter implies the tickets that are going to make your business more money. It's not real.
Tickets that are going to make you more efficient. And, you know, the ones that, so you can handle more tickets as a business. So that's still in that old verbiage. We're still focused on the merchant, right? And the benefits to the merchant, but we're not focused on the benefits to the end customer and making them feel customer love and making them feel customer joy and making them feel customer empathy and making them feel customer happiness. Because at the end of the day, we're trying to create, the merchant should be trying to create a tangible emotional response in the end customer. It's trying to elicit an emotional response where they feel inside, they feel loved, they feel cared about, they feel like the customer service person actually cares about them and cares about the outcome and helping them get the outcome they're looking for. And if we have to operationalize customer love, we have to make that a priority in its own right as a standalone goal of the business. And I think that's the thing that a lot of merchants forget. And they are all about customer service managers, for example, especially for online teams, where they may have, I don't know, they might have 20 or 30 people working in their customer service team. Those managers of those teams are typically tasked with making those teams more efficient over time. That's their goal. But the primary KPI, the overriding KPI, should always be, how happy is the customer after they interact with us? How happy is the customer after they talk to us, after they hear from us, after they have had a touch point with our business, whether it's to buy or purely to find out more information or to have a follow-up where they need to make a return? Because that's an opportunity to stand out, because customers, when they come and they spend money with your business, they expect a perfect experience every time. That's what they're paying for. And so if you deliver that perfect experience, sometimes that's not that much of a standout in their mind because they're already paying for that. That's what their expectation is. But when you can impress them with when things don't go 100%, when you can impress the way that you resolve that challenge for them, if that stands out as being so incredibly positive for them, that's what they'll remember. And they'll go, shit, I know that the next time I buy off this business, if it doesn't go exactly right, I'm going to have so much as pleasurable of an experience as you can have when things don't go exactly right. And that stands out versus this other company that I dealt with before. And I was left more angry after dealing with customer service than before I dealt with customer service. And I'm going to do a little bit of name and shame here. And I'm going to talk about Air New Zealand. Now, their response times, for example, on phone calls, live chats, et cetera, has blown out to, in some cases, hours, where you'll wait on hold literally for an hour before you can speak to someone in customer service. Now, that leaves me angrier when I get off the call with them than the initial problem that I had, or the rebooking I needed to make, or the change that I need to make, or whatever it was. When I was frustrated by that and I couldn't make that change online, or I couldn't add a service online, for example, or I couldn't add an extra bag online because it was coach shared with another airline for the next leg, which is actually has happened to me before. I was already frustrated. I was already pissed off because I couldn't do this thing online and I couldn't do self-service online. So I had to ring them, and yet rung them. I had to wait online for an hour before I got an answer or a response to a live chat. And then they weren't able to resolve my issue in the end anyway. And so These are the types of situations where you can either turn your customer service experience into a significant value add for your customers, or you can make it a source of frustration. It's your choice.
Yeah, and I think I needed to hear it as well, because it's not news to me that the customer needs to come first. I needed reminding, because it's so strange. There's so many parallels. So I was at Gorgeous, and while we were there, I was talking to you earlier that we changed our overall company, like key performance, our OKR. We changed the overall goal of the company. And one of our three main goals was based on our clients' customer satisfaction. So the satisfaction of the end customer, that the merchants we enable, how happy are their customers? And because we knew that if our clients' customers are happy, our business will be okay. And I think we've been spoiled with data recently. And if you work in digital marketing over the past 5, 10, 15 years, the data that you have access to has got more and more granular and more detailed. And it's so tempting to try to divide everything up into a neat little bucket, but that's not how humans work, is it? And we want to be able to give every marketing channel a specific bit of like attribution of this generated that, and you pull this lever and that will happen. And even as tech companies, it's the same thing for us. We're constantly trying to work out, how do we best acquire new customers? Which channel do we invest in? But then you find out, actually, you turn the tap off over here and it causes a leak over there. You stop reaching out to people and suddenly your inbound marketing falls off a cliff because no one knows who you are anymore. You're not telling anyone who you are. And I knew that even with partners, there's such a great parallel between this and the tech vendor agency partner relationship, that as a tech vendor, every time I join a company, so I'm head of partnerships at Digital Genius, and every time I've joined a partnerships role, there's always like a question of, how do you incentivize your partners? How do you incentivize the agency to get them to refer their customers to you? I think always the bottom line that I've maintained at all these companies is that once they see how you help their client and they see how you help the merchant, everything else is secondary. Revenue shares and giving them an incentive to bring the lead to you. All of this stuff comes second. If you can't make their customer happy, they'll never refer leads to you. If you can't make their merchant client successful, the agency has no interest in you. And it's exactly the same here. If you can't make the merchant's customer happy, why would the merchant ever want anything to do with you? And so that should be at like the core of what we're talking to them about is this is how your customers are happier if you implement the solution. This is how your bottom line will benefit. This is how you can marginally improve your first response time and therefore your conversion rate percentage may be marginally affected. Yeah, I think we should take a step back, look at it way more holistically, exactly as you've described, and accept the bottom line of if we have happy customers, we'll be okay. If our customers are pissed off at us, our business has an expiry date. You know, once we've got angry customers, our business will eventually die. If our customers hate us, that business doesn't live forever. And there's got to be a little element of letting go of the wheel and just letting the happy customers take the steering wheel.
Yeah, and look, I think that's an easy conversation to have, right? It's not only is it going to help you sell more, but it is an easier conversation to have when the focus isn't on you and the focus isn't on the merchant. When the focus is on the end customer, that is a much, much easier conversation to have because if a merchant doesn't want to have happy customers, if that's not a priority for them, if it's not a goal for them, then they're never going to buy your technology anyway. No matter how much more efficient it makes their business, no matter how much more efficient it makes them, if customer experience is not a priority, they don't see the value in spending the money on your tech. It's that simple, right? And so I think that it just makes that entire approach, the entire cold outreach, the entire everything that you do, when you're looking at it through, hey, we're providing a technology here and sure, we're a business and yes, we have to make money and yes, we have to be profitable in order to stay in business and continue to develop our technology. But taking the focus off of you and the merchant and putting it on the end customer, that greases the entire conversation because it doesn't allow you to introduce arrogance into the conversation. It just prevents so many bad behaviors on the behalf of salespeople and tech vendors that are trying to develop partnerships. And going back to that partnerships discussion, another point of that partnerships discussion should be not just what can this technology do for your customers as an agency or a freelancer or whatever it is, but what can this technology do for, I think there's two things that we talked about here that we hadn't brought up yet. One is, what can it do for your teams? What can it do for your staff? If you're a merchant, your service is soul destroying. It can be soul destroying, right? So why would you want your customer service people to come into work and just dread the thought of coming in and dealing with angry customers for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, 6 days a week, and you expect them to feel fulfilled in that? That is totally ridiculous to have that expectation. So if your technology can take away some of the repetitive tasks where they're just an automaton, where they're just a robot, right? And you can say, no, we want you to focus on customer love. We want you to focus on customer empathy. And we want you to have the time and the emotional bandwidth and energy to do so. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to automate the stuff that is just basically you could find out from a good FAQ page. We're trying to automate that piece so that you can focus on the customers that need a little more love, that need a little more attention, need a little more personalized service and time dedicated to them to make them feel loved. By doing that, you'll feel as an employee that you're actually moving the needle in a meaningful way instead of just being a robot. And so we don't think about that either. And that's a really key point here is happy staff will make for happy customers. Very unhappy staff, it's very difficult to make happy customers. If your employees working in customer service hate their job and it is soul destroying for them, they will never be able to create a great customer experience. And it's the same with an agency, right? It's A, do you want to create a great B experience for technologies that you're implementing? Do you want your merchants to be happy with the technology? More importantly, how can you help them? How can you, instead of saying, okay, by positioning our technology correctly, you'll be able to send us better qualified leads and you'll get maybe a commercial benefit for doing so. No, it's more about how can we position you as a service provider so that when we have customers come our way, we can hand them over to you in a really well set up and positioned way so that you're going to deliver service to them that we can both be proud of. So these are the types of conversations. We need to take it off ourselves. And that's what you and I think have been discussing the last few weeks.
For sure. And yeah, I think, yeah, that's a really critical part of it, isn't it? Is that this approaching it from this lens, the whole conversation becomes about how the tech vendor and the merchant are partners now. You're partnered in trying to deliver an excellent experience for the end customer. You're as much a partner with the merchant as you are a partner with a Shopify agency who referred the merchant to you in the first place, or a big commerce developer who brought you the lead. This person is now your partner and you're working together as partners to deliver an excellent experience. And those outbound sales cadences are the ones that work the best. My best ever performing outreach was two agencies to talk to them about how the tech company I was working for, how our software could help their clients and how it could make their clients happier with them and happier in general, how it could improve their clients' lives. And because it wasn't talking exactly as you say, it wasn't talking about me, wasn't talking about you, it was talking about this third person that we're trying to help together, it's way easier to join that conversation because it's not one-sided. It's not a one-way conversation anymore.
A selfish conversation. I think that's the key. It's not selfish.
Yeah, 100%.
Listen, Stephen, I think we've had a fantastic chat. So thank you for always coming to the table with really unique content in the sense that you always come with a unique agenda. You always come with some really good questions. You're always working on cool new things in your business. That means that we have a lot to talk about and we have a lot of, I guess you bring a lot of collateral to the table. You bring slide decks to the table. You bring the content of sales emails to the table. You bring a lot of things to the table that I think make for meaningful conversations between me and you that I can hopefully add value to, because things just pop into mind immediately when you show it to me. And then that hopefully by definition and by extension will help a lot of other people in a similar position to you trying to achieve a great outcome for end consumers at the end of the day. And so I appreciate your effort and your commitment to always having a great conversation when we chat. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. These are probably the most useful sessions of my week. This mentorship session that we're doing fortnightly, and then this informs my next 2 weeks of what I'm going to be. It gives me a new context for all the rest of the conversations I'm going to have. Exactly what's the point in me having this time with you if I'm not going to bring you the things that are most critical for me at the moment and get your feedback and advice on it? And it's always super appreciated.
If you'd like to get mentored by Jason for free, head over to greenwoodconsulting.net, scroll to the bottom of the page, and click Get Mentored by Jason.